You are now tuning in to Let's Be Honest with host Just Jonda. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Be Honest. This is your host, Just Jonda. And once again, I'm here to just chat away with you. So tonight, I am going to do something I've been promising to do for weeks, and that is just to take a time out and focus on some of the fun stuff. Remember in episode one, when I introduced myself, I told you that I am a lover of trash TV. I am a lover of reality TV. I really like all things TV. I was one of those 70s, 80s kids that just happened to like watching TV. It was kind of the background and soundtrack of my life. Now, I would read out the wazoo, but I could do that with the TV on. By the time I was in high school, I could literally have the guiding light on, reading lips while doing my homework. My mom didn't care as long as I graduated, which I did, so it all went well, right? So today we are going to get into some dish. There isn't the usual amount that we see because everybody's not quite out and about, but folks are still up to something. Today, we're going to focus on a few people and entities, because I'm going to stick with three main stories, well, maybe four, let's see where we go, that I think fall under the title, "Hey Boo, Your Motive's Showing." And so the first one we're going to start with is one of a lot of people, including mine's favorite shows, 90 Day Fiancé. Now, this show has been on TLC for several seasons. TLC and Sharp Entertainment have certainly hit the lottery with this one. It's been going on for several years. I mean, there's some of us that go all the way back to season one, and it was good. And there was a few stories here or there that were interesting, but I think what happens with a lot of shows, and certainly reality shows, the casting people hit their stride, they figure out what stories get the audience excited, and even though we complain that they get to a point of being a bit overproduced, certain things are obviously fake. We'll talk about a lot about that later on when Love After Lockup returns. Yes, I watched that too. But we have that, but that doesn't make the stories any less interesting to watch. Now, there's some that are just absolutely ridiculous. We know from the season that just ended, the Yolanda story was ridiculous. The Daniel story, same thing. But we're not talking about those. What I'm talking about is the gossip, because you can watch the show. And of course, if you all like it, we can come back and talk about the show as it occurs. But what do we really like? We like the behind the scenes gossip, because on the shows that become really big, what happens? The fans go nuts finding out about these people's lives. And 90 Day Fiancé, if you are a fan, let alone a super fan, you know that there are tons of forums devoted to it, lots of podcasts. One of my absolute favorite is the 90 Day Gays. They are absolutely hysterical. I think they're like one of the number one podcasts, so I never miss them. 90 Day Cray Cray is great as well. Let's see. Gosh, there's so many that I love. Real TV with Aaron Martin is great. And of course, there is another one is going to come to me. It's something about being pink, because I follow it on Facebook. But at any rate, there's a lot of really great podcasts out there, a lot of great content. And what we have all found, those of us who watch, is that we don't have to investigate. The fans are so rabid that they go behind the scenes and find out every conceivable thing about these people. And you would think that they would know to not go on this show if there's things they want to hide, especially if the things they want to hide is their motives. Okay, I got the names wrong. It is Reality TV with Jody Hug and The Pink Shade with Aaron Martin. So those are two of my favorite shows, along with my 90 Day Gaze with Matt and Jake. Okay. So later on, I will put their put those names in my description, because if you enjoy the show, you'll love it. Okay, so enough of that. Let's get to the dirt. So we have a new season starting. Happily Ever After is going to be what it's going to be. We know those people. Some are more interesting than others. But what is great is they are giving us some really good stuff on 90 Day the Other Way. We have two returning couples, Jenny and Submit. Exhausting. I'm not even. We can talk about that in another episode. And what's another returning couple? Oh, Ji-hoon and that couple. Don't care about that. But these new people, there's some interesting stuff there, right? And two of the ones that have everybody talking, and certainly in the deep, deep dive 90 Day community, is Biniam and what is her name? Ariella? Biniam and Ariella. And the other one is Yazin and... is her name Jasmine, I believe? They're not the subject of this story, so please forgive me if I can't remember the name. That's the young lady who is sort of the Megan the Stallion super fan, because that's pretty much what she looks like with the braces, and she's going off to Jordan, a strictly Muslim, is it Jordan? Yeah, I think so. The strictly Muslim country to be with Yazin. Well, quick and dirty on them, because we can talk about them another time. Word on the street is that Yazin is hopping into people's DMs. So what? Okay. I'm not even going to go there, because we could go down a whole rabbit hole on that. But the scoop that has me sitting here, you can hear my hands, you know, moving. The real scoop comes as it relates to Biniam and Ariella. Well, what we did see a clip where he says he has something to tell her. I am going to assume that, and I could be wrong, that it is going to be one of those overproduced moments that he's going to tell her what I'm about to tell you. But quite frankly, once I tell you, you'll realize there is no possible way that, given, even if they've only been together since last spring, which allegedly is how long they've been together, probably longer, even if they've only been together since for a year, so we're talking spring 2019, there's no way she wouldn't know this information that I'm about to tell you. So here's the scoop. So we know that Biniam is the gentleman from Ethiopia who met this young woman, privileged young woman, traveling around the world. I believe she is a Princeton dropout. I don't think she finished. So apparently she was traveling around the world and in some manner ended up becoming his boxing manager last spring. But I guess there was another reason that she was in Ethiopia. But apparently, what we need to call this guy is Super Sperm, because he has figured out how to get to America way better than Michael, because Michael found somebody who's willing to bring him to America, but he got with a woman that's 177 years old. And so how are you going to get the baby, dude? So that's Michael and Angela. So I know she's not 177 years old, but damn it, whatever. So anyway, back to this crew. Turns out that this is not the first time that Biniam has met a woman, knocked her up, and ended up in a situation with the foreign marriage. In and around 2014, and I'll tell you my source and I'll have it in the link. This comes from The Hawkeye, which is a newspaper in Iowa. And the article is titled, Federal Lawmakers Help Reunite This Couple. And so apparently around 2014, another young white woman from the United States, she's from Iowa. Now this woman's name was Bria. Looks like Bria Shabri. I'm not sure if that's his last name or that's her last name. Probably is. She was traveling. She settled on going to Ethiopia, and particularly to go to Kora, which is, and I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, but that is the capital of Ethiopia. And she decided to go there to do some humanitarian work. Who did she meet at a nightclub? Well, she met our boy Biniam. Now, apparently they had some whirlwind romance. Doesn't appear to be like the, meet, hit it, get knocked up situation that he had with Ariella. Looks like there was some type of relationship here. And in fact, in 2016, they got married in a traditional ceremony there in Ethiopia. And since she was working there, doesn't necessarily, it's not clear on whether or not the intention immediately was to bring him back to the United States, but it certainly came up rather quickly, because what ended up happening is that Bria found out that she was pregnant right around the time when the pregnancy's really cooking and she's realizing she probably wants to come back and have the baby in Iowa, if for no other reason, better medical care and whatever. But the story's not really clear about that. The main crux of this story is Bria came back to the States to visit her for her sister's wedding. And while she was in the States for her sister's wedding, Bria found out some devastating news about her unborn baby. In the meantime, Biniam applied for a visa not once, but twice, and was denied. Now, unlike some of our previous and probably even current 90-day contestants, it doesn't appear that there is some sneaky stuff in his past, like the guy John from England, who apparently has issues with punching people in the face all the time. It appears that, sadly, the only reason that the person writing the article could see, and they had even spoken with lawmakers, was just the mere fact that he was from Ethiopia, which is a third world country, and the concern being that if someone from one of those countries is given a visa to come to the land of milk and honey, yada, 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 that they would not want to return, and then that becomes a whole thing. So he was just flatly denied, it appears, from the article, merely because of where he was from. So that was back in 2016. So what did she find out? What she found out was that the child she was carrying had a rare disorder, some of you have probably heard of it, called gastrosis, where the child's intestines, the child was going to be born with their intestines on the outside. So in the meantime, they're still attempting to get him over here, and he's still getting denied. Well, it turns out that Bria's family was connected, and one of the people that they knew well was someone who would run for Congress in 2016 from their area, Carrie Duncan. Her parents contacted the family friend, Carrie Duncan, who then contacted Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. And according to the family, the office was wonderful to them, gave them lots of advice. He wrote letters. The hospital wrote letters. They gave him the medical records. He went over there. He went back. And the issue then was... he said they just simply wouldn't see him. They're like, we told you no, we told you no, we told you no. So Senator Grassley told them, okay, wait a minute, you need to switch gears. Instead of applying for a visa, perhaps you should apply for something called humanitarian parole. And if you want to look that up, go ahead. I don't want to belabor this like when I'm talking about the legal stuff. Plus, I am going to do an episode about the K-1 visa and the forms they sign with the IRS, because I've actually had one of those cases before in a divorce. And there's a lot of really juicy stuff that goes on with these folks and schemes and all kinds of stuff with getting over here. Anyway, back to what happened. So he filed for the humanitarian visa and tons of paperwork, records, bank records. I mean, it was like having to sell your foot. But ultimately, he did end up getting over here. It was after the birth of the baby, but he did end up getting over here. And for those of you who are asking, well, why didn't she just have the baby there? According to the article, she was open to that because she had been living there for years. If it meant that her husband, because at that point they had gotten married in Ethiopia, if it meant that he could be there, then she would have gone back. But of course, she found out about this extremely serious medical diagnosis. And it also just so happens that that one of the hospitals in Iowa is one of the foremost hospitals for dealing with these types of issues. And for those of us who are parents, even those of us who just care about people, when it comes to the babies, you want the best if you can get it. So he gets here, all is well, the baby is fine. Want to make sure you know that. The baby is fine. And they had a traditional American wedding in, looks like around July 2017, because the article was published July 30th, 2017, and one of the last lines of the article mentioned that sometime within the time frame that the article was written, which is kind of like their happily ever after, they got married. Now, all of this was broken by Soap Dirt and Starcasm, which are two of the big channels, especially Soap Dirt, Starcasm too, and this gentleman named John Yates, who are really super duper obsessed with it. And then of course was able to find this article, which I pulled so that I could make sure I had the right information. So again, motives are showing, because flashing forward now to 2020. Now, what happened to that marriage? Now, apparently the first wife is in the United States. She's raising their son. But what happened? When did they break up? And when, which is an even more interesting question, when did he hook up with Ariella? Now, according to their story, sometime around March of 2019, she ended up being his manager. But it just seems mighty interesting how quickly there was a changeover. And at one point, he was here in the United States because of the United States wedding. So lots of interesting questions there that I think the fans, especially the super fans, are going to be following up on. And you know, if I find out about it, you're going to find out about it. So the next person on our list of, hey boo, your motives are showing, is none other than Real Housewives of Atlanta's self-proclaimed HBIC, unless I decide to be the victim that day, Mrs. Lanithia Nene Leakes. We're going to talk more about her right after the break. I'm back, and this is Just Jonda. And again, today we are talking about some of the fun stuff, our TV shows, and some gossip sprinkled in. Yes, let's get to it. So as I promised you right before the break, let's talk about somebody else whose motives are showing, Ms. Lily Neeks. Oh my gosh, I'm totally screwing up her name. See, that shows that I probably shouldn't even be giving it this much shine in talking about it. Nene Leakes. Well, if you follow Instagram, Twitter, watch the Housewives, pay attention to anything really, social media, YouTube, then like me, you've probably got more than your fill of Ms. Leakes in the weeks immediately before, let alone during, and in this exhausting time period with her after the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. So we're going to talk about a couple of incidents involving Nene lately. And interestingly and disturbingly enough, they involve Black Lives Matter or events around Black Lives Matter. So not only is Nene being a part of today's show about people whose motives are showing, but she is going to get the tone deaf and lack of self-awareness award from me for the week. And quite frankly, probably the entire month. So I'm sorry. She's going to have to be visited by my tone deaf police, my lack of self-awareness police, and probably just needs to sign up for what I call the Just Jonda School of Public Relations. So let's go with one of the first things. Nene is still on her woe is me, everybody ganged up on me and treated me some kind of way at the reunion campaign. So I'm going to just touch on that very briefly in because quite frankly, been there, done that. And then we're going to jump forward into the particular incidents that I want to talk about. If you were following any of these ladies, especially Nene, on social media, whether that is on her IG, Twitter, which is kind of hard to follow her sometimes, that lack of S's like bridemaid is exhausting even when being typed, and also on YouTube, then you know, and of course the Breakfast Club, they seem to like her, she seems to like them, and that's fine. So you would know that there was a lot of smoke leading up to the reunion. There was out of the blue, some beef with Eva, specifically talking about the fact that she didn't bring anything to the show other than having babies. And what did Eva say in clapback mode? I'll see you at the reunion, because that was the next time they were going to see each other. Of course, there's like the little on again, off again, subtle digs when it comes to Cynthia, but not much there other than just kind of implying that she still clearly isn't so bright about who her friends are. Kenya, as we know, just the all out assault on everything from whether or not her baby is hers biologically, to issues with the husband, and then to the flip of, why she hate me so much? I've never done anything. And again, I have no horse in this race with any of these. If I sound snarky or like a hater, if you stay around long enough, you know I talk about everybody that way. So But in this particular case, you're going to kind of get what you put out, and the story isn't about the other people. So there was all of that. And again, what was Kenya's response to that? I'll see you at the reunion. And then right before the reunion, there was the smoke with Candy when Nene hired Lisa Bloom. And there were, again, these little digs about some people getting lots of shows, etc. And yes, Lisa Vanderpump has had a spinoff, but if we're talking about somebody who's had repeated shows, which were the words that came out of her mouth, who's had repeated shows and opportunities on Bravo, we know that that is Candy, from the ski trip to the wedding. She had sort of that American Idol type thing. I can't remember what it was. So the Candy Factory, maybe. Candy Coated Nights did a limited run. And COVID probably has played some role in its delay. But it had been reported repeatedly, pretty much the entire time, that the Real Housewives were on the air. And if Candy didn't confirm it, she said enough to let you know that it was happening, that there was going to be a sort of Vanderpump Rules type situation. I mean, not exactly, but the point is something based around OLG, because as we know, Candy's family are entertaining unto themselves without having to even bring in all these manufactured characters who then end up in their 40s and millionaires, but pretending they're working at a restaurant. Okay, so believe what you want to believe, but if you follow what's going on, we know who she's talking about. Again, Vanderpump Rules may be hugely successful, or may have been hugely successful and been on for 7 years, but it is still just that one show. Lisa Vanderpump didn't have umpteen spinoffs. She had one very successful spinoff that just stayed on year after year. So putting all of that to the side, what did Candy say? I'll see you at the reunion. What was Nene's responses to all of these people? You bring it, it's Broughton, we'll see you there. Well, guess what? Duh, you're all going to be at the same reunion. So this alleged gang up isn't necessarily a gang up. It may have looked like that from those who were following the story from behind the scenes. But if the next time we're going to be together, film together, and let's call a spade, put on a show together for our viewing public who seems to enjoy seeing a bunch of Black women clown each other, thus clowning themselves, then when is it going to happen? When we're being filmed, when we're together, and it just so happens that it is all at the same time. So if you have individual smoke with each of those people, and that is when they see you, that is when you are going to get whatever's going on between you and Eva, whatever's going on between you and Candy, whatever is going on between you and Kenya. And it just so happens that if nothing else united them, although Kenya and Candy seem to be pretty close, but certainly for the purposes of Eva, is the fact that they all had issues with you. Did it look good? No. Or did you write a check that you, I won't even say you wrote a check that you couldn't cash, because she held her own. She maybe just wrote a few checks that she didn't realize were all going to bounce on the same day, or forgot about that part. So anyway, that's my spiel on that. Went on a little bit longer than I thought, but this next piece is short. So Black Lives Matter, flashing forward, of course, things have gone on in Atlanta, and unless, if you follow any of these ladies, unless you've been living under a rock, you've seen Portia out there from day one. In fact, I want to say that one of the first days that Portia was out there, I believe she even ended up being tear gassed, because that was part of why she ended up being such a big part of the story. But we know that Portia comes from an activist family, and whatever we may feel about her otherwise, that's part of her heritage. And so it doesn't shock me that she's out there. I don't think that it's, as people say, I hate this word, but I'll use it anyway, I don't think it's for clout. I think that when you are raised that way, I was raised that way, in terms of community involvement and stuff, you just feel like if there's something going on and I'm not in the mix, I'm not letting my voice heard, making my voice heard, I just don't even feel right. And on top of that, it's honoring her family legacy, which she's made no secret of. She's always been all about that. So good for her. I bring that up because Nene said nothing when Portia was out there being photographed, being interviewed. But a few days later, when Cynthia went out and pictures were taken of her, right around the same time. I won't say they were related, but that seemed to be right around the same time. There seemed to be these really unnecessary Twitter posts about how some folks are just out there to be seen. They don't really care about the cause, etc. Interestingly enough, that was right around the time when she and Greg were out there taking pictures with no mask on, talking about, I'm out here with my husband who insisted on coming out here despite the fact that we are both high risk, especially given Greg's cancer. So you're out there posing with fans, taking pictures and whatever. And again, I'm not hating on you acknowledging people who feel like they know you. You've been on their television for years and years. I just am like, girl, really? I think we are way over the hill to be having conversations like that, especially on social media, subliminals, all of that. So the next piece is I'm going to touch on another part of their Bravo family, Vanderpump Rules. Doesn't matter what happened. I'm not going to announce Stassi's news in order to give her any extra PR. The point is that it went on for a few days, as many of us know, before Andy made a statement, before Lisa Vanderpump made a statement. So Andy Cohen made a statement. It was interesting. He basically made sure, as part of his statement, to, if for want of a better way of putting it, to kind of remove himself from the fray by making note of the fact that people have been on him about, why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you saying anything? And to remind everybody that he doesn't run Bravo anymore. Of course, he has a stake in it. And of course, he said, I love these shows. And I mean, they came on under his reign. So he says, I love these shows and I still host them, but I don't run them. I don't have anything to do with the hiring and firing. And I think part of that came into play with Vanderpump Rules, because we know that these comments that were made, and even the issue with Faith Stowers in calling the police on her, these are things that happened several years ago. Now, I don't point out the fact that they happened several years ago to suggest that just because they happened several years ago that they should be ignored. I point that out to say that not only did they happen several years ago, we're talking like at least 2017, 2018 and forward, but they were open and public because a lot of the things that Stassi is accused of saying and doing, which is why she couldn't deny them, she has done on her own podcast and others, including jokingly and laughingly telling the Faith Stowers story as it relates to her and Kristen calling the police. And so it is not that these things like calling herself a Nazi chick and the story about Faith and all of that, it's not that these things weren't known, and I'm sure that it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they were known by people who work at Bravo. So that's why I bring that up, because again, it falls into the, your motives are showing because now you, like some other networks who I'll bring up later, you are trying to pretend that you are cleaning up a corporate culture of ignoring things or just letting things go because everybody looks like you, laughs at the same jokes you do, and unless or until anybody says anything because they want to get a check, then nothing's going to happen. That being said, Andy makes this statement. And as part of the statement that he made, which again, you'll understand why this relates to Nene. He mentioned towards the end of the statement, he goes, you know, we are, and I'm paraphrasing here because you don't care about the exact words, but basically saying we are trying to figure out ways how to move forward again. pointing out to you, I'm not an executive here, but I certainly am a part of the Bravo family. And it just so happens that about 2 days ago, I had a very long talk with Candy Burrs, and she had some really good suggestions about things we could do and moving forward. And I look forward to continuing to have those conversations. Now, when I, a normal person with no dog in the race, don't care about any of these people, when I read that, my thought was, and the fact that the Data article came out, by the way, Candy was on his show, you know, the whole social distancing, watch what happens. I'm thinking, A, all right, he probably just happened to be talking to her anyway, because they were show prepping. And B, even if it wasn't that, she is a person who is with the network. She is a person who is a fellow business person. And who knows, maybe she called him as a Black woman calling the person at the network who you may be closest to because of his relationship with the show. None of that made me think of NeNe or any other housewife, house white or Black at all. But apparently it did with NeNe, who reposted that article on her Twitter with the quote, "I find this interesting." And from there, it was off to the races with her fans just jumping right in. Why isn't he talking to every housewife? Why is it just Candy? Now, all of a sudden, Candy thinks that she's in charge and blah, 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 and on and on and on. And the next thing you know, it goes into how she thinks that they should be making just as much as the Kardashians, and it's equal pay, and you know, these are the things we're fighting for. And okay, girl, just be glad the show is on the air, because like Vanderpump Rules, everybody's all worried, is it going to come back? Is it not going to come back? The main people are leaving and whatever. That show jumped the shark about 3 or 4 seasons ago, and Real Housewives certainly has done that. Some people feel like it made a resurgence a couple of times. No. It pretty much jumped the shark a while ago, but because it's still, at least for Bravo, was the number one in all of the Housewives franchises, of course they weren't going to get rid of it. But quite frankly, if you're talking about action and people who like the drama on the Housewives, last season, Potomac certainly was much better. And last season, and I'm talking about last season when Kenya Moore wasn't there, the show also had the lowest ratings in Roha history, Roha being Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with Kenya per se. I think it's just because the show is long in the tooth and the same conflicts and dramas are so played out that they don't even look like they're interested in them. So again, lack of self-awareness award goes to the third thing, and this is probably where I'm glad this is the last one, because there's just not much that needs to be said after this. So NeNe did an interview a few days ago with the South African podcast, and it might have been a radio show, looked like a podcast because it was, you could see the people. So, you know, radio show, podcast, it's hard to tell nowadays because everybody's working from home. So the person, of course, what's the big topic? They asked her about the reunion. I don't know if they're on a delay when they saw it, but it may be so. It's big news over there. And he asked her about why she walked off at the end of the second one, because she wasn't in the third one at all. Other than being talked about, she wasn't physically there. And so she said that it was too negative and that she felt ganged up on and it was just too much. She doesn't have an issue with good television and even having some level of conflict with people, but she just felt that they were ganging up on her and it was just too negative, and it was just too much. And so she said, if people don't understand what that is and what ganged up on means, then you need to look up in the dictionary what a gang up means or what a gang up is. George Floyd was ganged up on physically, but she was ganged up on verbally. Yes, those were her words, and I'm giving you the exact ones. Again, I don't even know what else to say about this other than to say it's like a child living in a vacuum, looking at each thing they do, in this case, each conflict with the women individually and the participation in, the participation in those conflicts, the fact that just because you want to apologize doesn't mean somebody needs to accept it and blah, 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 blah. Looking at those things in a vacuum when, again, your interaction with them, because you are not friends, you are just coworkers, is going to be in a group. And quite frankly, if we're going to take it all the way to the hood and then I'm going to bring it back, on site, for those who know what that means on site, evening gown, Zoom call, whatever, whenever the next time is that I see you, on site means on site. And not only was this on site, but I warned you exactly what site it was going to be. I will see you at the reunion. You know, they're going to get my blood pressure up. Let me just stop. So I will tell you that, like Nene, who closed her computer because she felt ganged up on and assaulted verbally, I had to close the app on my phone because I felt that my brain had been assaulted. Right about the time that she said, as the conclusion to that statement, Black Lives Matter and my life matter. Both of those things are true, but so not a part of it. I can't even put it together. The idea of even talking about the housewives of any season, let alone Roja after that three-part reunion, which started on Mother's Day, just in case you forget, or just in case you forgot. And any type of movement is just disturbing. And by the way, if you just so you'll know moving forward, I don't do the whole Kardashian thing. I don't do it on my blog either. It's just a Kardashian-free zone. However, I will simply say this. You all are not the Kardashians. They have proved that they are an established brand who not only have a lane, they created that lane that nobody else seems to be able to duplicate exactly like them. Probably in large part to the master of the game, who I would take a class from, their mother. But at the end of the day, the fact that they have a $100 million deal, whether any of us like it or not, they've earned that deal with E. You haven't earned that deal with Bravo. If you did, it would have been 5 seasons ago. It damn sure isn't 12 seasons in where you all are getting on everybody's nerves. So if you were to get a bump up, sure. If those ratings come out and you all are still the top show, get that raise. You ain't getting $100 million. And like some other folks who will remain nameless who like to compare themselves to people making more money than they do, I'm not getting out and throwing a parade and holding up a placard for you all either. And that's not just Nene, that's all of y'all heifers. Okay, so our final topic I'm going to talk about in my series of, hey boo, your motives of showing, is ABC, who has decided that after 40 seasons of The Bachelor / Bachelorette, that they are going to have a Black Bachelor. Does anybody care anyway? And wasn't the last season stopped because the last season wasn't completed, which was where this guy came from when he was on there competing for a young lady. That season was interrupted by COVID. So convenient timing to announce it. Our Black Lives Matter thing. We have a Black Bachelor. We've even been sued about it. But now we have one. And really? I mean, when are you going to film it? Anyway, more to come on that after the break. Back with Just Jonda, and in our special episode of The Fun Stuff, and in our final segment, who is showing off their motives, why that would be ABC, and a couple of times this week, quite frankly. But we're going to focus on the fact that they have announced that they are going to have a Black Bachelor, 28-year-old Wake Forest grad. He had a brief stint in the NFL, and that is none other than Mr. Matt James, who was a favorite on a recent season of The Bachelor when he was trying to get the love of Claire Crawley. And quite frankly, he was one of anybody who's watched The Bachelor knows one of the, hate to put it this way, but I'm going to say it, I'll say obligatory instead of using that notorious T word, Black men or women who are put on the show just to show that we have a sprinkling of ethnicity. And so they may toss in some gentlemen of color. And it's even produced so that there's at least maybe a date or so, or some feigned interest that the bachelorette, who all of them are white, and even when there was the first black bachelorette a few years ago, just 3 years ago, Rachel Lindsay, same thing. Ultimately, she also did not pick the Black candidate. He made it to, if not the final two, I believe it was the final three. But if you watched the show, you knew that there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that she was going to pick that guy. I don't even know how, even if it was at the behest of the producers, the guy made it that far, because of the brothers that were on the show, that wouldn't even have been one of the ones that I would have chosen, even if I were trying to make a point that there was the possibility that I was going to pick one. It actually made it a little more obvious. And I'm not saying that she had to pick a Black man. I am simply pointing out the fact that even when there was a Black bachelorette, it still didn't happen. So, I know that I said 40 seasons, and believe it or not, there have been 40 seasons, because ABC milks this show to death several times a year, and even summer versions with Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know. I can't remember if they count those Bachelor in Paradises as part of the 40 seasons. I don't think that they do, because the show has been on since 2002. So given that it's been on for 18 years and they do at least two seasons a year, it's certainly feasible that there's 40 seasons of The Bachelor, Bachelorette without those little doofy offshoots where they send all the rejects to an island, and there's, you know, basically they try to do a classier version of Temptation Island, but once everybody jumps into the hot tub and gets drunk, all bets are off. So, Matt James, what do we think is going to happen? Because, quite frankly, this is another show that is long in the tooth. Its core audience is probably, if we were to do any type of poll on this, who its core audience may have started with is not who it is now just because the show has been on for so long. So this is a show that is probably may have some appeal with younger women, but usually those women are older. They kind of age with the show. So if we're talking about, because we're definitely not talking about Black people, if we're talking about a largely white audience that is, I'm going to guess here, and I don't think that I'm way off, a largely white audience that's probably about 25 to 44, largely women, you can't really change the demographic of what everybody looks like. It's simply not going to work. And I am sure there will be a lot of tiptoeing around having the situation flip and there be a majority of Black candidates. Now, I can't say what Matt prefers, or, and I don't mean what, that sounds horrible, who Matt prefers, because quite frankly, he was on a season where The Bachelorette was white. So we know that he is open to interracial dating, and that's fine. And he went to Wake Forest, which is a predominantly white institution as well. So that's fine. But my point is, given the fact that we know that he is open to interracial dating, and based on holding on to the show's viewership, it doesn't make sense for the execs at CBS or the showrunners to suddenly switch the whole demographic of the show on the hope that more Black people will watch just because there are more Black contestants on the show. I don't necessarily think that's the case. In fact, some of the Black women that I have spoken to, and these are educated women, married, some are single, some of them date exclusively Black, some of them date a mix. All of them have pretty much said, why am I going to watch that if he's probably just going to end up marrying a white woman anyway? And that's not to say that he can't do what he wants to do. It just means that this may have been an exercise in futility that makes ABC look even more stupid and pandering for doing it than if they just kind of let things play out and see if eventually one of the women they put on the show would actually pick a Black male contestant, or let this again happen more organically with your next competition. Now, again, people like Matt, and there were definitely people who were like, Matt would make a really good bachelor, because that's some of the things that have been said about Matt in the past, because again, he was on the show. But I think to do it now from a timing standpoint, especially when, how are you even going to record it? I mean, doing The Bachelor via Zoom, weird. And that ain't going to work, because, I mean, if you do that, you might as well be doing the show that everybody loved on Netflix. I can't remember what it is at the moment, but the one where the people didn't see each other and they were in different rooms and then they met, etc. It would just be an entirely different show. The Bachelor is everybody moving into the mansion and ultimately way too many people making out with the same person and having the semi-pornographic hot tub scenes where there's way too many things floating in the soup. That's The Bachelor. ABC just tries to do it a little bit more classy than Temptation Island with the elaborate dates, and which is cool because it's all a little fairy tale. But to do the show any other way doesn't make any sense right now. And are we gonna watch COVID soup with all the people making out? And is America ready to see a Black man making out potentially 3 and 4 an episode with a bunch of white women and or some black women? Really? It's gonna be interesting because what I'm seeing out here in these streets, I don't know. Do you think America is ready for that? I mean, we had it on Flavor of Love, right? But it was Flavor of Love. Flavor of Love was an ABC owned by Disney. So we'll see. I don't really care. I'm sure many of you don't. The point in this little spiel wasn't about whether or not we think Matt is going to pick a black woman or a white woman. It's really about pandering gone horribly wrong. It's really about the fact that sometimes when you do things where your motives are so incredibly transparent, it undermines whatever point it is that you are attempting to make. And we see this happening every single day. And I don't know what else to say to America other than thanks, but we're not stupid. No more than any of these other people, adults, who when their racist slip is showing, the first thing that they say, kind of like the people from Vanderpump Rules, the people, the woman who yelled at the gentleman, and it looks like her boyfriend has lost his job and she's lost some business, who yelled at the man who was writing Black Lives Matter in his own driveway and she assumed that he didn't live there and called the police on him. The statements that you get is, we didn't know, we need to learn, and all of those things. You're in your 40s. Some of you are in your 50s. And in the case of the Vanderpump Rules people, they try to act like kids, but they're in their 30s. Stassi Schroeder is, what, 32, 33? Her buddy, what is that girl's name? Not Katie. Katie still has her job if there's a job to have. The one that got fired with her, she's like 38. So if these things happened several years ago, you were like 27 and 36. And it was 2017, 18, 19, 20. It was not 1952 Alabama. It was not a point where you were still learning about everything. Before Ruby Bridges, before Brown versus Education, before Martin Luther King, since, you know, that's pretty much the only thing that they make sure that everybody learns for Black History Month. And probably only because there's a holiday. These are things that we have always known. You know that there are certain things that are okay. And you know that when you call the police that there is a possible situation that could get dangerous. And you know how I know and we know that you know. The mere fact that you pick up the phone, you make sure that the individuals know that the person is black. And as always, the weak chin, the weaponized tears, and I'm being attacked and I'm afraid for myself. Just those things alone let us know that you know. So ABC, thanks. And God bless Matt James. I hope he finds the love of his life. Rachel Lindsay seems to have done so. She is married to the man that she chose. One of the few. It seems like the women do better than the men in terms of the actually making it to the altar with the person that they choose. Somebody do a poll on that. But just informally, just thinking about, other than those weird Bachelor in Paradise marriages, it seems like when the picker is the woman who ultimately makes the man the one who's making the choice, that they end up making it down the aisle. And Rachel Lindsay just happens to be one of the ones who did. And I briefly mentioned that there was a lawsuit. Yes, there was a lawsuit in 2012 where two black male contestants sued based on discrimination and the notion, again, that they're essentially brought in as tokens just to, and I said I wouldn't use that, obligatory cast members to sort of fill out the color circle. Sometimes they've had Hispanic men, although I believe there was a Hispanic bachelor at one point. Yeah, like wasn't the NASCAR guy or something like that? I know there was an Italian one. But at any rate, I've seen that maybe one or two Asian men. Now that, get one of the guys from My Big Fat, not My Big Fat Wedding. Oh my gosh, the movie about the wedding where that has us all wanting to have a wedding where there is water bringing us down the aisle. Crazy Rich Asians, best wedding freaking ever. But at any rate, bring one of those hot looking guys. I mean, no shade to Matt or anybody else, but I mean, if we're gonna do it, let's just do it all the way. 40 seasons, hasn't been 40 years, feels like 40 years, but 40 seasons, I guess. I mean, look how long it took for slavery to be outlawed, and then that still didn't exactly work because, well, you know. So, I'm happy that you all have taken this time with me a little longer than what I planned, but I hope that you do enjoy this little this little swerve away from the more serious to the more fun. And we'll definitely be doing a lot more of this. There's just been so many serious stories in the news that the cast were long enough trying to give you a little piece of everything. And I also just didn't feel like it made sense to have a legal background, particularly when it comes to criminal law and in these areas, and not explore such important historic legal issues that are going on right now. So we're still going to talk about that stuff. We're going to continue to take our deep dives, but in getting to know me and hang out with me, let's do what I'd like to do along with you. So remember, if you are thinking about it and want to talk about it, or you're talking about it with your friends, I'm probably thinking about it, talking about it too, and want to talk about it with you. So continue to tune in to Let's Be Honest with your girl, Just Jonda. Bye-bye.